The epistle reading today is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, commencing at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Hear the word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 12, commencing at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more important than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them, and how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let's pray. Our loving and sovereign God, we pray that you would help us to hear the words of this gospel reading afresh today, and that you would give us the capacity for these words to go deep into our hearts, for us to absorb and take hold of these words and apply them. For we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Sadio Mane is one of the superstars of the Liverpool Football Club. Who's a Liverpool supporter here today? We got any Liverpool fans? It's partly actually due to this fella here that Liverpool are going so well. It looks like they're going to break their 30-year title drought. And it's partly due to this fella. He was the 2019 African Player of the Year, and he's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. But he was in the news recently, and when superstars are in the news, it's usually for bad reasons. This time it was for a good reason. He was caught with showing an iPhone 11 with a cracked screen. The fans were wondering what was going on. Here's a man who earns maybe $10 million a year. That's roughly what he earns. And here was a man who was displaying a cracked iPhone 11. And his fans were wondering, why doesn't he replace the screen or buy himself a new one? Actually shows our attitude, doesn't it? We think that people with a lot of money spend a lot of money on them. But it's actually not always the case. And it's certainly not the case for this fella, Sadio Mane. Back in October last year, he was asked by a reporter what it was that he was hoping to achieve in his career. And he said that his number one goal after reaching the heights he had in his football career was to help people. Let me quote what he said. I've got to tell you, this quote is so good. When I read this, I almost became a Liverpool supporter. Like, it's that good. Are you ready? This is what he said back just in October last year. He said, why would I want 10 Ferraris, 20 diamond watches and 2 jet planes? What would that do for the world? I starved. I worked in the fields. I played barefoot and I didn't go to school. But now I can help people. I prefer to build schools and give poor people food and clothing. I also give 70 euros a month to all the people from a very poor Senegalese region in order to contribute to their family economy. I don't need luxury cars, luxury homes, trips, or even planes. I prefer that my people receive a little of what life has given me. Pretty awesome, isn't it? Here's a man who hasn't forgotten his roots. He was born and raised in Senegal and he hasn't forgotten what his early life was like. And he's determined to use whatever material possessions has come his way to be able to share to others, to help others. Today we're going to explore Jesus' teaching on material possessions from Luke chapter 12. At the very heart of this teaching, Jesus says the headline, "Do not worry." It's actually a message that we need to hear today. I planned to preach on this 3 months ago. Do not worry. More than likely, you faced a bit of worry this week. Perhaps this week you've had a friendship breakdown or you've had a medical diagnosis. Perhaps your baby won't go to sleep. Well, in my case, my puppy. Worry's all around us, isn't it? You can't pick up the mercury, you can't open up your Facebook feed and not have a whole lot of worries just pour out. It's actually hard to find even one article that's not on the coronavirus. Our world right now is awash with worry. A few months ago, we were worried about bushfires, weren't we? Today, it's a global pandemic. And all of these worries can be debilitating. Author William Jordan said this about worry. Worry impairs appetite, spoils digestion, disturbs sleep, weakens mind, warps character, saps bodily strength, and stimulates disease. Sounds a bit dramatic, doesn't it? But worry can indeed be very, very destructive. Today we're going to hear Jesus' teachings about worry. And we're going to apply this firstly to material possessions, that's where Jesus goes, and then we're going to apply it more broadly to the worries that we each face in our lives here today. I've produced a little handout for you, and if you'd like to just take that out, it should be with your newsletter. If you don't have one, if you could just stick up your hand and then you'll receive that. It's got a picture on one side and then the scripture on the other. Just put up your hand if you need a copy of that. Today we're going to look at 5 reasons that Jesus gives his people, his disciples, about why not to worry. First, Jesus says, don't worry because life is not about food, life is not about clothes. Jesus' first reason about not worrying is a philosophical reason. He's saying to his disciples that life is more than material things. Life is more than materialism. And friends, don't we need to hear this message in our deeply materialistic Western society? Of course life is more than stuff, more than material possessions. But just think about how we actually live. Jesus says, Luke 12, 22, 23, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Jesus doesn't yet tell us what life is about, but he tells us what it's not about. It's not about materialism. Jesus says you can have all the oysters, you can have all the beautiful camembert and caviar and lobster that you like on your table. You can have in your closet all the Prada and Versace and Armani that you could possibly have, but you will still feel empty because life is not about things. Life is not about material possessions. There's more life to food, there's more life than clothes. And if we have the very best of everything, we'll still find that life is empty if that is where we're seeking to derive our purpose and meaning. A friend of mine called Michael lost everything this year. Absolutely everything. Let me read to you a couple of his posts. He wrote, Melinda and I, Sam, Josh, Henry, Digger the dog and Bindi the lizard are all safe, but unfortunately we've lost our house and the workshop to the fires. We're being well looked after and don't need anything at this stage, but internet access is patchy, so we might not be able to respond to any contact. God has blessed us in so many ways. He builds up and he tears down. And he cares for us in the most important way through his son Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And then 10 days later, January 10, he writes, update, we're doing okay. And we've moved into a rental property at Denham's Beach. God is faithful. One text sent to a friend resulted in a beautiful house, fully furnished, which was never planned to be rented out. We have pretty much everything we need, and we're starting to come to terms with our new life, thanks for all the prayers and the offers of support and all the kindness shown to us. Jesus says to his disciples, don't you worry about material possessions. Life's more than food, and it's more than clothes. Number two. Jesus says, don't worry because God will feed you just as he feeds the birds, and you're way more valuable than the birds. Luke 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Second reason that Jesus gives his disciples here is a theological reason. He says, don't worry because of God, because of who God is. God will feed you. He feeds the birds. He'll surely feed you. And interestingly, the bird he chooses as an illustration here is a crow or a raven, a bird that in the Old Testament was considered unclean. Why? Well, possibly because they're a scavenger bird. Leviticus 11, verse 15, they're listed as one of the unclean animals. So Jesus' point is even stronger. He says, consider these unclean scavenger birds. God is looking after them. And if he's looking after them, then surely, surely he's going to feed you. Surely he will provide for you. Jesus says, consider this. Reflect on this. Look at the world around you and see what I'm saying. Jesus says, don't worry. God is a provider God. He's a faithful God. He can be trusted. He feeds the birds. He's going to feed you. Number three. Jesus says, don't worry. It's not going to help. Jesus has given us a philosophical reason, a theological reason. He now moves to a very, very practical reason. He says, don't worry, it's not going to help. Luke 12, 25, 26. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? He's pointing out a very simple truth here. We cannot control our future. So Jesus asks the question, well, what is worrying going to get you? Where is it going to get you? What is it going to achieve? It changes nothing. Of course, that doesn't stop us, does it? It's not going to achieve anything. Doesn't stop us. But Jesus is giving us a very practical reason here to make sure that we do not worry. All that worry does is rob us of the strength we need to be able to live well today. Corrie ten Boom, a survivor of one of the Nazi concentration camps, said this: worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Let me say that again. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Worry isn't only futile, it also takes the energy that we do have, so we can't even use that constructively. Jesus says, do not worry, it will not help. Number four, Jesus says, don't worry, God will clothe you because he clothes the flowers, doesn't he? So, and you're more valuable than the flowers, so he will surely clothe you. Jesus gives us another theological argument. Before he said that he's told us to look at the birds, and now he says look at the flowers. You can imagine Jesus teaching his disciples, can't you? They're out in the plain and there's some wildflowers over there, and he says, hey, look at them. And he makes an object lesson to that which is surrounding him. Verse 27, 28, consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon, in all of his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown to the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And friends, if you want an example of this, all you need to do is to look into my backyard. 3 weeks ago, before I had a puppy, we had wildflowers. We had lots of lovely plants. And today, what was there yesterday has now gone. Jesus says, God clothes the wildflowers. He looks after them. They're beautiful, filled with splendor. And you're so much more valuable. So how can you not think that God will take care and provide for you? Reason number five. Jesus says, don't worry, because life is not about food or clothes, but it's about God's kingdom. Verse 29 to 31. Do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the world runs after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus finishes this section with another philosophical reason. In the first reason, he said it's not about materialism, it's not about that, but he didn't tell us what it was about. Now he answers the question, it's not about materialism, but it is about the kingdom of God. It's not about things, material possessions, but meaning is to be found in God's kingdom. He says the world runs after the material things because it doesn't know about this spiritual world we live in. But we do. So we are to seek after the things of God. We are to seek after the kingdom of God. Seek his kingdom, Jesus says, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's like Jesus is saying, You take care of my things and I'll take care of yours. Five reasons not to worry. Don't worry because life isn't about material things. Don't worry because God will feed you like he feeds the birds. Don't worry because it won't help. Don't worry because God will clothe you like he clothes the wildflowers. And don't worry because life is about the kingdom of God. There are Jesus' five reasons not to worry. But how? That's the why. How are we actually going to put this teaching into practice? How are we going to obey this command, do not worry? Because it's easier said than done, isn't it? Put up your hand if you've ever worried. Put your hand down if you haven't worried in the last week. Yeah. Worry is just a part of everyday life, isn't it? It's part of the air we breathe. I mean, no matter how many times we say to ourselves, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, what are we going to do? Worst thing you could ever say to someone who is worrying is, don't worry. I've tried that one. It doesn't end well. And when we think of life beyond material possessions, when we think about the other worries of life that we face every day, how are we to stop worrying about all these things and to banish worry from our lives? How are we to do that? Right now, there's a lot of people in a state of alarm. How are we meant to banish worries from our lives? Well, I don't want to oversimplify things, but I want to give three very practical thoughts to you today, and I'll offer them to you and pray that you'll reflect on them further this week. Number one, we can banish worry by being sensible. Now, I feel like I'm just preaching what my mother said to me 40 years ago. But we do actually need to be sensible, friends. God has given us all a brain, and I think he wants us to use it. And we need to allow our minds to be ordered by God and God's truth. We need to be discerning. It's very easy when our thoughts go around and around and around for us to be anything but rational, but to be very irrational. But as much as we are able, we need to allow our anxious thoughts to come in alignment with Jesus and his truth. And so this is how it needs to work, I think. So I'm worrying, so I need Julie and her mind to help me to stop worrying. But then guess what? Julie's worrying. Do you know who can help her? I can. We actually need each other, don't we? Because it's really hard to be sensible when we're living something. Really hard. But Jesus is telling us we've got to be sensible. We've got to allow his truth into our lives so that we are able to think clearly about what the situation really is. In this week that we're in at the moment, this time of history that we're in this when we're each at some stage this week will face the various outcomes of coronavirus, Jesus is actually wanting you to be sensible. Okay? We need to use our minds. We've got to listen to what people say to us. We've got to be clever and smart. We've got to obey what our politicians tell us, our medical staff tell us. Let's be sensible, friends. Not worry, but let's be sensible. Has everyone got that? Number two, we can banish worry not just by being sensible, but by trusting in God. And that's the reasons two and four from Jesus' words today. We've got a God in heaven who is sovereign, who is over all the kingdoms of the earth and over every virus that's ever existed. We have a God who is sovereign in heaven and a God who thinks you are incredibly valuable. Twice we hear about the value that human beings have in the sight of God. You are precious to God. If you're caused to doubt that, just have a look at the cross. You're not sure if you're valuable to God, you might want to look at the cross. For God, would not he send his son to die for the sins of the world for you if he hadn't done that in love? We have a Father in heaven who provides for us, a God who can be trusted, a God who is faithful, a God who was God yesterday, a God who is God today and will be God tomorrow. Trust him. We banish worry by choosing we will trust in God. Trust is a feeling, sure. It's also a choice. Today, choose to trust in him and say, Father, you are God, you're my provider, you are sovereign, I will trust in you. You've got this covered, God. Trust God. And lastly, we banish worry by focusing on God's kingdom. Friends, let's focus on our minds. Let's focus all of our minds not on what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with our lives and what's wrong with our health and wrong with our relationships and wrong with our puppy. You know? Let's focus on what is eternal. We have been given the gift of eternal life in Jesus. We've been given salvation, his love. We are to focus on that which is eternal. We've got to deal with the present things? Yes. We've got to be sensible with the present things? Yes. We've got to trust in God and we've got to focus on that which is eternal. Let's not focus on what's ephemeral and fleeting, but on what is lasting and eternal. Right now, the world is watching people of faith. Right now, the world is watching you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, the world is watching you. We had one member of our congregation who went into hospital over the weekend, nothing to do with coronavirus. And she is in a difficult position and she has received some difficult news. And the person who was in the bed in the same room said, why aren't you worried? Can I ask you why, how it is that you're taking this the way you are? And she was able to talk about her faith in Jesus. Friends, the world's watching. The world is watching us. What will they see? Will they see a people frantic like the rest of the world? Or will they see people like you and me who are fully trusting in our sovereign and kind God, in Jesus, strong and kind? Friends, let's not lose our heads. Let's focus on the kingdom and let's choose today we will trust in our Father God. Shall we pray? I'm going to invite you to stand as we come before our God together. Thanks, Nick. Our Lord God, today we choose to trust in you. We confess that you are sovereign and holy and awesome, God of gods and Lord of lords. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we declare this morning that you reign, Lord God. You reign in heaven above and earth beneath. We confess we can trust in you. Lord, strengthen our hands today to trust you. Be at work in our hearts. Banish from our hearts, Lord. Banish from our minds. Banish from our lives all worry. Help us to think clearly, Lord. Help us to use the minds you've given us. Help us to use the minds of others. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to be people who are radically dependent upon you. We surrender, Lord, our own thoughts and dreams and hopes, expectations, fears. We surrender them to you and ask, Lord, that you would focus and direct us upon Jesus and upon his mighty kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you sent Jesus to bear the punishment that we deserved, to bear our sins upon the cross so that we might know you and live for you, with you forever. Help us to trust in your love today. Help us to trust in your salvation as we seek to banish worry from our lives. Father, when our friends and families, when our neighbours and colleagues see us, we pray, Lord, that they would be drawn in turn to you. Not that we're perfect, we're far from that, Lord. Not that we never worry, we do. But may you give us a confidence and a sureness and a trust that transcends what this world has to offer. May you help us to stand upon the rock that is Jesus. Help us this morning to trust in you and your strength. For you, Lord, are the everlasting God.